Good morning. This is Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration for this morning. God bless you all this beautiful new day. And we are going to go back to the first epistle of John again. For those who have not been listening in the last couple days, we have taken John, 1 John 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." And we've taken that verse, and we have seen that that verse is telling us that we may know that we have eternal life, but it also says in the beginning, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that we may know." So we want to go back. What we're doing this week is we're going back and we're just looking at what John wrote so that we can know whether we have eternal life or not. So we are now in 1 John chapter 2, and we are going to start in verse 18 this morning. It says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no true lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son." And then from there it goes into talking about, you know, the Trinity, or whatever you would call it, the Father and the Son, and the different personalities of God there, but we'll get into that just a little bit. Let's look at the whole idea here of the Antichrist, and let's see what we can learn here. It says there that there are many Antichrists. There's not just one Antichrist. But let's look at, there's a few places where we can look at where it talks a little bit again about the Antichrist. One of them is 1 John chapter 4, where it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, so children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." And there we see that the spirit of Antichrist will not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Again in 2 John, the second epistle of John, it says the same thing. Verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Now we think, well, we would, yes, confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. We have no problem with that. But, you know, let's look at this a little bit. And I think maybe this will come a little closer to home than we realize if we just dig into this a little bit and see what that spirit is of Antichrist. Now we know that Jesus did come in the flesh. He was the Son of God, but he was also in the flesh. He was a man. Actually 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Let's go to that one first. And that gives us a little peep into it there. It says 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Makes it very clear that it was a man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4 verse 15. Another place where that idea comes out. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And so again, it gives us the idea that he was come in the flesh, and he was, it says he was tempted in all points just as we are, which basically indicates that there was the possibility within Christ, as he was on this earth in the flesh, there was the possibility for him to sin. And that is something that a lot of people have a hard time with, but we have to say, we have to admit that that is the case when we look at the verse there in Hebrews 4 and 15. The other thing that we could look at also is Hebrews chapter 1. Talks about God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, reading in verse 1 and maybe just 3 or something like that, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat in the right hand of the majesty on high. Here it is giving the example that, or the idea that Jesus Christ is an example for us to follow. He came, God spoke to us in the times past by the prophets, to our fathers, but in these last days he spoke to us by his Son. And Jesus came that he might live the perfect life, live an example for us, that we also should walk therein. And so Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. Now, you know, sometimes you would say, well, Jesus was God, and yes, okay. But as he was on this earth, so you know, there's people. Some people would go to some of the miracles he did, or the fact that he could see into people's hearts and things like that, and say, "Well, see, this is what he did, and so therefore he must be God." However, when he was on this earth, he also said to his disciples that greater things, these things, and even greater things than this, are you going to do? And then we read in the book of Acts, and we see how, in fact, the disciples, the apostles, did do those things and greater things, healing, seeing into people's hearts and thoughts and things like that. So we understand here that Jesus did not do those things because he was God, but he was here as a man under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that's important for us to understand, lest we get into our minds that, well, this is Jesus, you know, yes, okay, we want to be like Jesus, but, you know, we really can't walk the way Jesus walked, because after all, Jesus was God. But I don't believe that is the truth. Jesus Christ was here in the flesh under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he was here just like we are today. We are in the flesh, and we too can walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and therefore overcome sin and resist temptation and, you know, have the power of God in our lives just like Jesus did. Now, we do see that there is places where Jesus was worshipped by some people, and he never refused it. And so we do see in that Jesus was God, and therefore he was able to receive worship. Otherwise, he would have been like the angels. When people saw angels, they fell down on their face and worshipped him, and they said, "No, don't do that. I am just one like one of you," and they would not receive worship. But Jesus Christ did. So we do see that he was God, but as he was on this earth, he was in the flesh, and he operated as a man under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that is, and so when we get into that place where we want to deny those things, we want to say that, well, Jesus was different. That you know, I can't have the same anointing of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had, and all those things. I believe that is a form of denying that Jesus was come in the flesh, and that we are in danger of, you know, the Antichrist when we have that spirit. But Jesus did come that we might have life, and we might have abundant life, and we might overcome by our faith. Okay, let's go to the next part there. Verse 23. Then also there he says, the other idea he gives there in connection with that Antichrist, he says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also," giving the idea that the Son and the Father are two different persons. And he goes on to, you know, really refute the whole idea of there is a doctrine out there that believes that it is It is all one. There's not different personalities. That when Jesus was on this earth, he was God and he was here. And anyway, but we see also Jesus in different places praying to the Father, which basically, you know, shows us that there was, you know, two different persons there. It wasn't they are God. They are all different personalities of the God, and that thing is a little hard to understand. But we do see that Jesus Christ made it very clear, and John speaks to that a lot. How, you know, we have the Son and the Father. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Again here, you know, keep in mind our thought, or the central theme of our meditation here is John 5, verse 13, where he talks about, these things have I written that ye may know. And so we want to keep that in mind as we read this, and we see he's using the idea of the Antichrist in connection with the Trinity, with the three persons of God, and also with the anointing that verse 27, he also talks about the anointing that we can have, which is the same anointing, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that was upon Jesus Christ himself as he walked on this earth. And it says, the anointing teaches you all things, as is truth, and is no lie, even as has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Verse 29, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so that's another one that's very important to note, that everyone that doeth righteousness. And I think there's another place that we'll probably come to maybe one of the other days, tomorrow or the next day or something like that. Talks about a little bit more about that, the idea of being righteous, and how we cannot, if he that doeth righteousness is born of God, and how if we are not doing righteousness, how we are of the devil. And we'll read some more about that tomorrow. So that's also a very important point there, that, you know, refutes the idea that, you know, we can just believe in Jesus and live like we want to and go to heaven in the end. But that is very clear here in this book that is not the case. That is not possible. Jesus, you know, requires of us righteousness, and he gives us the anointing to walk that way. So, I believe I'm going to stop there for this morning. Our time is up, and we will continue tomorrow with more of that thought of walking in righteousness, and how that proves that we are born of God, and how, and all those things. So again, God bless you, and thank you for listening.